Blog Talk Radio. gets us rocking and rolling. Happy day, everybody. Five past the hour, 7 o'clock in Middle Earth. This is the Fastest 60, a special edition of the Fastest 60 as we wrap up week 15 in the National Football League. And let's just call it what it is. All right, we saw great football. We saw bad football all in the same weekend. Historically, you see no team play a good team when has an off day. There are times when you see great football throughout an entire game and the best team wins. And then there's what happened over this weekend. Teams that had their playoff lives laid out for them and simply piddled right down their leg. And that's the nicest way I can say it. And for what it's worth, it's the only way I'm going to say it. Because the bottom line is you had teams that with playoff implications on the line that just did not get it done. It's that simple. All right. We'll run through the scores and give you the whole Week 15 wrap-up. I am still reeling as a Chicago Bears fan, as many of you know. The Bears have literally been in control, let it slip away, got it back in control, let it slip away again, and now have had it literally handed back to them. What can I tell you except for this? Good football programs, usually once they've got their foot on your throat, they've got the foot on the throat, and they basically knows how to close it. But somehow, the Detroit Lions, what can I tell you? The Detroit Lions, that's all you need to say. There is the epitome of wetting the bed as much as pooping on yourself in the most embarrassing possible way. They waited till they got on national television to play what was arguably their worst game of the season. At a time when you had the division there to be won, you basically peed on yourself on national television. And even then, you had a lead. You let Baltimore beat you with 6 field goals, the latter one being 61 yards with 38 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. 61 yards in the dome. I mean, and we'd seen even in practice that Justin Tucker definitely has the leg for this. But Detroit never should have been in this position. That's what kills you if you're a Detroit. If you're a Detroit Lion fan, please give me a call. 619-639-4747. If you know of a Detroit Lion fan, have them give me a call. I'd love to get some explanations from our friends in Detroit. What happened on Monday Night Football that has yours truly doing a special edition of the Week 15 wrap-up show and the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports about your team? All over this country, great football was played yesterday, some good, some bad, some surprising. Let's get into the scores. We're not going to talk about Week 16 fantasy results. Most of you have either had your Super Bowls or you're going into your Super Bowls this weekend. Hopefully, by now you figured it out. But let's go down. Yesterday's scores, we'll set up playoff scenarios. But I am legitimately stunned. All right, I guess that's the only way to say it. Stunned at some of the things we witnessed yesterday. NFL heads and pundits, you know, were no different than I, just completely floored by some of the things we saw yesterday. Dallas, you know, if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, this is what, you know, don't even bother dying my number. Just don't even waste it, because that's like asking to have your feelings hurt. It's not going to go well. It just isn't. You've got more than enough going on in that program and that team for it to be an absolute, well, let's just call it what it is. I thought the Bears defense was the worst I'd seen until I took a look at Dallas's. And Bears fans, hold your head up a little higher today regarding your defense, because the bottom line is the worst defense, historically the worst defense possibly in the National Football, in the history of the National Football League, is in Dallas, Texas. 26-3. I mean, let's just go through it, because I don't need to, you know, guess a little at all. The reality is they had a 26-point lead and found a way to lose to Green Bay. yeah, I know. All right, let's go down this. Thursday game prior to the week getting rock and rolling, the Chargers upsetting the Broncos 27-20. Chargers now 7-7. Here comes this late push, trying to get to 9-7 and a shot at either, certainly a shot at a wild card. The Broncos 11-3, 7-1 at home. Look like they're still in control. Kansas City's hot on their heels. Two of those teams definitely coming out of that division of playoffs. We'll see if the Chargers find a way to get in. They're going to need some help, though. The Redskins in a very, very, you know, well, I guess entertaining game to watch if you're certainly a Falcons fan. Your season is basically over. The 4-10 Falcons take care of the now 3-11 Redskins. Again, Redskins 1-6 away from the, you know, their home field. Just an absolute disaster of a season. RG3 not himself. Cousins throws 3 touchdowns, but the turnovers cost him in his losing debut. Again, Falcons 27, Redskins 26. Right here, well, in Middle Earth, sort of, Cleveland, just a little bit to the east of us, the Cleveland Browns, played a gallant game. At one point, had to bear down, too much talent, too many weapons, find a way to get it done with 21 points in the fourth quarter, taking care of Cleveland 38-31. Cutler goes 22 of 31 for 265 yards, 3 touchdowns. Matt Forte, 24 carries, 127 yards. Brandon Marshall is Brandon Marshall, 6 receptions, 95 yards, and a touchdown, and just an all-around effort across the board. Let's see, continuing on. I'm not sure who would want him, but okay, fine. You want stats from the Redskins game? Fine. Cousins goes 29 of 45 for 381 yards, 3 touchdowns. Morris, 18 carries, 98 yards, no touchdowns. Garcon, 7 receptions for 129 and a touchdown. All that happening in the early games of the day. Moving on. The Texans still having the disaster year. They started the season 2-0. They're now 2-12, 12 straight losses. They lose to Indianapolis 25-3. Colts now go to 9-5. They're 5-2 at home. With Philly Booth, the luck propelled Colts to win. Stat-wise, Case Keenum, 18 of 34 for 168. Andrew Luck, 19 of 32, 180 yards, 2 touchdowns. T.Y. Hilton, 8 receptions, 78 yards, no touchdowns on that day. The other side of the equation, the Patriots and Dolphins. Patriots now 10-4 as the Dolphins shock them and make this playoff pitch in the AFC that much more interesting. Dolphins now 8-6, 4-3 at home as they win 24-20. Patriots 10-4 have now started to struggle away from home. Basically, Brady goes 34-55 for 364 yards and 2 touchdowns. LeGarrette Blount, 11 carries, 47 yards, no touchdowns. Julian Edelman, 13 receptions, 139 yards. There's your Wes Welker-like numbers and a touchdown. On the passing side of things on the Miami side of things, Tannehill, 25 of 37, 312 yards, 3 touchdowns. Miller, 15 carries, 61 yards, no TDs. Wallace, the big gay, 6 receptions, 105 yards, and a TD on that one. Moving on to the scores, the shocker of the day for those in the NFL pundits, the Vikings against a very, very game and a very talented at that time 8-5 Eagles squad. Vikings put 48 on the Eagles, 48-30. There is got to be the shock of the day. Again, Matt Castle showing up, and again, I guess he's good for one big game a year. Matt Castle goes 26 of 35 for 382 yards, 2 touchdowns. Not to be terribly outdone, Nick Foles, 30 of 48, 428 yards, 3 touchdowns in a losing effort. Asiata, the running back of the Vikings. Again, this is a Viking team without Toby Gerhardt and without Adrian Peterson. They blow the dust off Asiata, bring him in first time in his NFL career, and all he does is get 30 carries, not a lot of yards, but 3 touchdowns. Greg Jennings, 11 receptions, 163 yards, and a touchdown in a winning effort. DeSean Jackson, good numbers, 10 receptions, 195, and a touchdown. Forcing on the losing end of this one as the Vikings get it done, 48-30, with the Vikings putting up 21 fourth quarter points. The snoozer of the day, the Seahawks is going to New York and just slam the door on the Giants, shutting them out 23-0. What can you say? The Seahawks picked off Eli Manning and they basically manhandled the Giants. That's it in a nutshell. Russell Wilson goes 18 of 27 for 206 yards and a touchdown. Eli Manning 18 of 31, 156, no touchdowns. Nothing really to smile about. Don't know what's going to happen in New York in the offseason, but we're probably nearing that stage where changes have to be made. Let's see. Let's continue on the scoreboard. 49ers 33-14 over Tampa Bay. Niners now go to 10-4. Leaders there, Kaepernick goes 19 of 29 for 203 yards, 2 touchdowns. Frank Gore, 22 carries, 86 yards. Vernon Davis, 5 catches, 79 yards, and a TD. On the Tampa side of things, Mike Glennon, 18 of 34, 179 and 2 TDs. Looking for more good stuff for Tampa Bay. Wide receiver Wright, 7 receptions, 82 yards, and a touchdown. But again, not a competitive game at one point. I mean, early on, it was 17-7 at one point before the Niners just begin to pull away. Again, they get the win 33-14 and go to 10-4. Buccaneers, we'll see some changes, but they have played better as of late. That's a 4-10 football team. So stay optimistic, Tampa Bay. You're doing some good things there, all right? You could use a quarterback, though. You could. We'll stay optimistic. On the other side of the AFC, Bills and Jaguars. The Bills shocked the all of a sudden resurgent Jaguars 27-20. E.J. Manuel bounces back to lead the Bills past the Jags. Bottom line, E.J. Manuel, 17 of 24, 193 yards, 2 touchdowns. Freddie Jackson, 70 carries, 80 yards. Woods, the receiver, 5 catches, 82 yards and a TD. Chad Henne for Jacksonville, 21 of 36, 237, 2 touchdowns. And again, not a lot. Receiver Lewis, 4 receptions, 54 yards and a touchdown for Jacksonville. In a game that was probably more entertaining than originally thought, it was 20-10 at halftime, Bills. And with the exception of a late touchdown making the difference in the game by E.J. Manuel, this was a pretty competitive football game to watch. So kudos to the Jags for making it competitive and interesting later on in the game. To a game that was, well, if you loved offense, was incredibly entertaining. The Chiefs put it on the Raiders 56, but they give up 31 as Jamaal Charles goes off for 5 touchdowns as the Chiefs now make the playoffs. Alex Smith goes 17 of 20 for 287 yards, 5 touchdowns. Davis, 9 carries, 34 yards, and a TD. Jamaal Charles, 8 catches, 195 yards, 4 touchdowns through the air. All you can say is wow. Matt McGloin, 18 of 35, 297, and 2 touchdowns for Oakland. Jennings, 23 carries, 91 yards, 2 TDs. And Streeter, 4 catches, 99 yards for for Rayford. This game became a bit of a Donnybrook. If not but for the first quarter, the Raiders matched the Chiefs' offensive production in terms of points. Both teams putting up 14 points in the second and third quarters. But that first quarter, this game was 21-3 at the end of one. And then, of course, the Chiefs add another touchdown late, putting up 56 on the hapless, I guess it's a kind word to say, the hapless Raiders. All right, how about that one? The hapless. Is that fair? That seems fair. They were hapless. All right. 619-639-4747 again. 619-639-4747 as we roll on with the scores from week 15. Jets and Panthers. I would like to believe that the Jets had some inkling of hope when they were 6-7 when this game started. Playing against the Carolina Panthers, who, of course, have been on a roll, been a great team, and Rex's job is on the line, so why not put up what we hope would be at least a good game? Nonetheless, that's certainly lacking a little bit of our Panthers. The bottom line is the Panthers is a better football team. Cam Newton, the running game was strong, so here are your numbers. For the Jets, Geno Smith, 15 to 20 for 167 and a touchdown. Ivory, 11 carries, 66 yards, no tutties. Cumberland, 3 catches, 50 yards, and a touchdown. On the Carolina side, Cam Newton goes 16 of 24 for 273 and a touchdown. D'Angelo Williams, 15 carries, 81 yards. Greg Olsen, 5 catches, 88 yards. The bottom line is the Panthers put up 30 points. The Jets put up 20. It's that simple. It was 16-6 at halftime. Jets made it interesting getting a touchdown in the third quarter, but in the fourth, Panthers simply pulled away with 14 points in the fourth quarter, and there's your difference in the ballgame again. Panthers at 10-4 now, right on the cusp of being in the playoffs with the New Orleans Saints in that NFC South. Jets, 6-8, that season is largely done. They're playing for next year's rosters and jobs. The shock of the day happens in Big D. No, it's not Detroit. That's down in Dallas. A team that if you looked at them on paper, you'd say was going to be competitive, going to be fun to watch. Yeah, this game was 26-3 at halftime. You're up 23 points going into the third quarter against a Green Bay team that is being led by Matt Flynn. No Aaron Rodgers. And what happens? The Dallas Cowboys find a way to lose 37-36 to Matt Flynn and the Green Bay Packers. All Matt Flynn did was put up 34 points in the second half. All Tony Romo and the boys did was put up 10 and allow. Yeah, I mean, can you call it a rally? I guess you call it a rally because, the deficit. But the reality was Dallas let this get away. That's all there is to it. And they are by far the worst defensive team. Even worse, yes, than your Chicago Bears. The worst defensive team in the National Football League. And we're talking about epic failures here. Let's get to the numbers. For Green Bay, Matt Flynn, 26 of 39, 209 yards, 4 touchdowns, 141 yards, and a touchdown. Boykin, 6 catches, 83 yards, no tutties. On the Dallas side of the ball, Romo goes 29 of 48 for 358 yards, 2 touchdowns. DeMarco Murray, 18 carries, 134, and a touchdown. Dez Bryant, 11 catches, 153, and one TD, and one early departure, which has all of the NFL world buzzing. Why? He claims he left because he didn't want to be seen crying in front of everyone out there. He's an emotional guy. Again, is he being coddled, as a lot of the pundits believe? I don't know. You hope at some point he matures and grows up, but it's one heck of a start, I'll tell you what, to what should be a stellar, hopefully one day Hall of Fame career. That is a great, talented young man. I'll tell you else who showed some emotion yesterday was DeMarco Murray at one point when the team was up, and what they really needed to do ideally, theoretically, fundamentally, was run the football, control the clock, control tempo, and they touchdown, all around, giving it back to Green Bay. And before you know it, it was 26, it was 29-17 at the end of the third, and you just saw Green Bay just keep boom. Five possessions, five touchdowns. That simple. Five possessions, five touchdowns. I mean, that's it. And again, it points directly to that defense in Dallas and how porous they are. We saw how bad they were against Chicago on the Monday night game. It continued against Green Bay. All right. Cardinals and Titans, a great game that went into overtime. Cardinals getting the win 37-34. Still staying alive. They're 9-5 now for a playoff spot in the NFC. The Titans, again, played a good game for the most part. It was 10-10 at halftime, 20-17 into the third. This was a good game, entertaining game. Carson Palmer, here are the numbers, 20 of 30, 231 yards and a touchdown. Ellington, 10 carries, 71 yards. Ellington also had 7-8 yards for the Titans. Fitzpatrick goes 36 of 58 for 402 yards, four touchdowns. Johnson, 13 carries for 40 yards. Wright, 12 receptions, 150 yards, no touchdowns. And the bottom line, Arizona, a little bit better of a team right now. Just got it done in overtime. Again, a game that the Titans certainly were in and had a shot to win late after putting 17 points up in the fourth quarter, which may speak to some issues the Cardinals may have on defense, but nonetheless a great game. The upchuck of the day, and there's no other way to put it, the absolute upchuck of the day, the Rams shocking the Saints. Again, the Saints on the road, a completely different team than they are at home. But this game was indoors. Let's just put it that way. The Saints' playoff plans were put on hold after this loss to the Rams. Rams go to 6-8, 4-3 at home, which, again, is a testimony to great coaching from Jeff Fisher and what they're building for their future, which could be exciting within the next year or so. Saints go to 10-4, not quite ready for the playoffs yet. Now tied with Carolina at division. The Rams get it done 27-16. Rams, much like they did the Bears, jumped on them early. It was 24-3 at halftime. Now, it's kind of weird to say the Rams 24-3 over anybody, but that's exactly what happened. All right. Bengals and Steelers. The Bengals could be the really, really good team that just had a bad day. All right. The playoffs were there for the Bengals to the two seed was there in AFC for them to have. All they had to do was beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh. And before they could blink, it was 21-0 in the first quarter. Steelers go on to roll at 30-20 in the game. Here are your numbers. Andy Dalton, 25 of 44, 230 yards, two touchdowns. Bernard, the running back, 13 carries, 33 yards, and a TD. A.J. Green, 9 catches, 93 yards. On the Pittsburgh side of things, Ben Roethlisberger goes 20 of 25 for 191 and a TD. Le'Veon Bell, 24 carries, 57 yards, and a TD. They got to get that running game going. Antoine Brown, 5 catches, 66 yards, also a touchdown in the game. Nonetheless, Steelers get it done. They start strong and simply overwhelm the Bengals. Bengals put up 13 points in the fourth quarter, but it was too little too late, as they love to say in sports. And because it is Tuesday, am I right in this? It is Tuesday, the 17th. We can talk about the team that peed down its leg last night, and there's no other way to say it. One drive out of the gate. This is the Ravens and Lions. Now we're on to Monday night's game. First drive out of the gate, Lions look like a playoff team. Go right down the field, score 7-0. Get the second period. Baltimore Ravens field goals, it's 9-7. Nothing out of that Lions vaunted offense. Nothing in the second quarter. All of a sudden, Calvin Johnson, one of the best. Now, the people have typically called him, they call him Megatron, but they call him the best wide receiver in the game. He looked like last night. I don't know if he was scared, maybe he's coming off the flu. Something was wrong. He could not hold on to the ball to save his soul. He couldn't. Bottom line is, 9 points or three field goals by the Ravens. Both teams had a field goal, had field goals in the third. Ravens have two field goals in the fourth, along with the Lions. And before you know it, the last one the Ravens kicked, 61-yarder, wins the game. The vaunted Lions, who had the NFC North in hand, they were in first place. They had their own destiny at their behest. They were 7-6. They could have easily gone to 8-6 and been, again, while tied with the Bears, they have the tiebreaker over Chicago because two of Chicago's losses, both of them are to the Lions. So the Lions had it all laid out for them. They controlled their own destiny until Justin Tucker walks onto the field and proceeds to hit a 61-yard field goal with 38 seconds left in the game. And before you know it, he boots the Ravens past the Lions. And this Ravens team, looking a lot like a team you would just say they find ugly ways to win, is now 8-6, certainly in a playoff hunt themselves. They currently control the sixth seed in the AFC playoffs. They look good. Here are the numbers. Flacco, 20 of 38 for 222 yards and no touchdowns. Ray Rice, 12 carries, 56 yards. Jones, 6 receptions, 80 yards. Matthew Stafford on the Detroit side, 18 of 34, 235 yards and a touchdown. Reggie Bush, 70 carries, 86 yards and a touchdown. Calvin Johnson, 6 receptions, 98 yards, no touchdowns. How do you lose a game like this if you're the Detroit Lions? And how more importantly, how do you recover? Because, look, good things and bad things, well, let's say it right. Bad things happen to good teams in the NFL. It just happens. All right? It's part of the game. It's the nature of the game. On any given Sunday, a team can certainly be beat. This was laid out for the Lions. It really was. The Bears had beaten Cleveland. Green Bay had upset Dallas. All you had to do, go in there. You're at home. 70,000 people screaming for the Lions. All you've got to do is beat this team. You got beat by 6 field goals. The Ravens did not score a touchdown. Let me be clear. If you trust the Detroit Lions, I hope you trust them with a discretionary change in your pocket and not the mortgage and nothing serious. You cannot trust this team. You can't. You cannot trust the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC East. You just can't. Now, 27 past the hour. In the fastest 60 minutes in sports, just truly Vinny Moore. What can I tell you? I mean, I'm still in a bit of shock. I watched that game last night, and I'm watching Justin Tucker go on there. And he goes over to his coach, and he literally tells John Harbaugh, who's thinking, do I just go ahead and take the field goal here? Do I tell Flack to go 4-10? I think it was 4-7. But what do I tell my guys? What should I tell them to go? And Justin Tucker goes to his coach and says, I got this. With all the confidence in the world, I'm going to put this ball 61 yards between those two yellow pegs down there, and we're going to walk out of here winners. And as Harbaugh said in his press conference, he almost commanded me to let him kick that ball. That's how confident he was. So Harbaugh, being the man that he is, sends his kicker out there, snap back, ball down, and before you know it, just inside that right upright, but over the bar, goes that football. And there, for Bears fans, is a reason to celebrate because you now are in sole possession of first place all by your lonesome. All right? So, let's see. What do we have here? Do we have any highlights? Let's see. I'll tell you what. Let's take a quick break. The break will be the highlights. How about that? We'll do that. And do we have, let's see, anything else more fun? Let's see, and I got to tell you about some of the people I've been chatting with and talking to, too, because that's going to be fun, too. I promised these people I would talk about them on the night show, and I will do that after we play some hot... what am I missing here? Is that? Yeah. That's good. All right. Okay, so I've basically muddled through some time here. Let's get these highlights out of the way. We'll take a break. Bears-Browns highlights right here. You may hear some things that might kind of scratch your head, but oh well. Anyway, these are highlights from Bears Browns yesterday. 47 seconds of love for Bears fans. Back in a second.
Bears will run a play. The 2-minute warning will stop after a first down. And this is Michael Bush. And Bush is into the end zone. And that is a touchdown for the Bears, which will keep their playoff hopes alive, a 2-touchdown lead with a little more than 2 minutes to go.
Another Cleveland Browns knew it was going to be a run. They brought everybody down in, but they didn't keep the gap integrity we talked about. Nice cutback by Michael Bush to go the distance for the touchdown and seal this for the Bears.
These are the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks, an ESPN Radio exclusive.
All right, Garlic, here we go for week 15. My motto this week is, boy, do they stink.
What is that smell?
I watched the Oakland Raiders play against my Jets last week, and boy, do they stink.
It smells like a used diaper filled with Indian food.
Offense, defense, special teams, you name it, they stink.
What is that? It smells like a turd covered in burnt hair.
They're home getting only 4 points against the Chiefs. The Chiefs are good, and they're going to get hot going into the playoffs at the right time. Yeah! Chiefs are better offensively than they realize. The defense is more than good enough. Kansas City, give me by double digits. I'll easily give the 4.
That took courage, my friend, especially for a poor, timid sap like you. I'm proud of you.
I'm going to go to Minnesota where it could be cold and it could be snowy, but it won't affect the game because they play in a dome.
Hey, Captain Obvious, good job.
And they're hosting the Philadelphia Eagles, who won in snow last week.
It's snowy!
This time they'll play on the fast turf, and they'll win in Minnesota. Minnesota still in shambles at the quarterback position. One of their best targets, Kyle Rudolph, has missed a bunch of time and now is on IR, so he's not around.
All right, wise guy, where am I?
And the Philadelphia Eagles know what they are playing for. They go to Minnesota. They're given 4.5. Give a touchdown in this one. Philly big.
I can say big, loud things. I can be demonstrative.
And then head-to-head, Mike, we're going to sunny South Florida where the New England Patriots are taking in a foul disposition. Losing Rob Gronkowski for the season is ultimately the death blow of their championship hopes.
It's over. Finished.
But not this week. The Dolphins aren't for real, and the Patriots are. Bill Belichick will find a way, especially in the division.
We do what we think's best. Let's put it that way.
Tom Brady will find a way. They're only giving 2.5 points. I'll take the Patriots by a touchdown. I'll give the Duke.
Who does number 2 work for?
That's right, buddy. You show that turd who's boss.
I'm going to take that 2.5. Miami is playing. While they're playing hard, and they're still in it. Right now, they're tied with Baltimore. Even though they lose a tiebreaker, they know what they have to do, and that's keep winning.
How about those Dolphins?
They'll do it at home. New England just keeps losing player after player.
Adams, Adamley, Adamowski, Anderson, Bueller.
It has to catch up with them, and it will this week. Miami, I'll take the 2.5. Quite honestly, I think they get the win.
Today, I am a god.
Is that why you're sitting on an ice cream sandwich?
And those are your Week 15 Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks.
This isn't over.
Really? You're leaving? I'm not thinking about it. Sure feels over.
And that was the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks.
On fire. GMs, checkbooks in hand, are chasing those far-from-green free agents and trying to fill holes in the lineup. Is your team scheduling press conferences, betting on a bumper crop from the farm system, or dumping dollars to avoid the luxury tax? ESPN Insider Baseball coverage lets you know who's winning the offseason and what that means for the season to come. ESPN Insider, your way in. Get 50% off for 6 months. Visit ESPN.com/insider.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. We love ESPN, but, you know, free pubs like that? Come on, guys. Anyway. All right. So you heard Golic and Greeny say, basically, you know, Greeny saying that, you know, give the points and New England's going to be New England because they were primed for playoff, and all they did was upchuck and piddle down their legs. You also heard Golic say that Philadelphia was going to win big, and they wound up basically puking on themselves and allowing Minnesota to putting up 48 points. So I ask you, at 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. Who's the brighter? Because I'll tell you point blank, I did not see Miami shocking New England. I have seen Minnesota play incredibly better. So Minnesota beating the Eagles, not as much of a shock. No, nowhere close to the kind of shock I think we could have easily seen had, put it this way. If Adrian Peterson is there, that probably is worse. Toby Gerhardt, it could even be worse. Now, here's the thing. The Chicago Bears have to go to Philadelphia next Sunday. It's a primetime game, which I believe it's a Sunday night game. And it's a game the Bears absolutely have to have. Well, yesterday was a game the Eagles would felt like they had to have, and all they did was puke on themselves. So let's hope that Mark Trestman and his new-look offense, which is putting up a ton of points, is ready for what should be a relatively hostile environment. It's always hostile in Philadelphia. The Bears have played well there the last couple of years, but that was a Lovie Smith defensive-minded team, often against a Michael Vick team. And the Bears have largely owned Michael Vick, but Michael Vick's not the guy anymore. It is Nick Foles. It is a pocket passer, and the Philadelphia Eagles post the best run game in the game. So LeSean McCoy and the boys, you're going to have a chance to run through that porous Bears defense. And I'll tell you, while I'm a Bears fan, and I certainly hope for my guys to do well, the reality is it's going to be tough. Jay Cutler is going to have to play. I won't say a perfect game, but he's going to have to be awfully sharp. He's going to need to put up a bunch of points for them to be in this one, because I got a feeling Philadelphia is going to put up. If Philadelphia puts up less than 30, I'll be shocked. I really would. If the Bears defense, if they get Briggs back, they get some fundamental tackling, you're not going to stop LeSean McCoy, but if you can slow him down and get a couple of three and outs and get up on these guys big enough to where they've got to become a little more one-dimensional, then the game can change quickly. But as you know, Chip Kelly is one of those guys who lots of plays and lots of, you know, quick repetitions and likes to get in and out of different sets, can put a tremendous amount of pressure on your defense. Let's just hope they know what they're doing, okay? We'll stay optimistic as Bears fans. It will not be easy. So we won't even sugarcoat it, and we won't tease ourselves. We won't act like we don't know exactly what's going on. All right. Historically, on Sundays, we give you a comedy break. Since no new materials come in, we'll get you the old one from this Sunday. If you missed it Sunday, Bruce is our comedy guy, so we'll break him out one more time, get you a comedy break. When we come back, we're going to hear from our guys over at ESPN First Take. That would be Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith, as they talk a little bit about the great disappointment in D, better known as the Dallas Cowboys. 619-639-4747. If you want to interrupt us and have a conversation, again, 619-639-4747. Here is Bruce.
Oh, man. How y'all doing? Y'all all right? You're looking at me like I'm going to follow you. I'm not going to follow you. You're looking like, Lord, please don't let him fall right now. If I fall, who gonna pick me up? Nobody. Y'all be standing across the street. That fat dude fell over there. White people, oh, I'm gonna help you. Are you okay? Black people don't help you. I don't know him that good. Black people step right up. Excuse me, let me get right here, please. Oh, I'm glad to see white people here. Oh, my God. I love white people, man. They pay on time. You know what I'm saying? White person writes you a check, you can take it to the bank in the morning. Brother writes you a check, he gonna post date the next Friday. Look you straight in the eye. Say, if you go in that Thursday, the money won't be there. But white people can fire you from a job and still be smiling. You hear me? This lady fired me one day. I'm sorry, I gotta let you go. If you need a good reference, tell him to give me a call. I say, reference? I'm thinking about setting this place on fire. And white people are happy early in the morning. Andy, good morning, how are you? Good morning. Good morning, good morning. Hi, Dave, how are you? Black people are not happy early in the morning. You catch a black person, good morning, yeah, go on. I got a hangover, leave me alone, now leave me alone. But I like white people because they let you know when stuff's going to happen. Like if somebody's going to hit me in the head with a stick right now, white person's jumping, hey, watch yourself, he's going to hit you with that stick right there. I can turn around and catch them. Black people don't talk about nothing. They don't let you know nothing. They'll talk among each other, but they won't say nothing to you. Black people sit right now. Look, he's been hitting with a stick. He's been hitting. Bam! I told you. I told you you're going to hit him in the head. Didn't I tell you? But white people always use for the love of God when something happens. You ever notice that? For the love of God. Black people use Jesus. Because there's power in the name Jesus. Am I right? You can leave here tonight. Your car starts sliding. Black person, say, Jesus, come straighten up. White people leave here tonight. Car starts sliding. For the love of, boom. Knock the wall down. So start using Jesus. It'll work for you. Because white people take chances. I don't know why. White people don't catch on to nothing. They can go home tonight. Garage door open. The kitchen door is wide open. They sitting in the car trying to guess. I wonder who left that door open. The brother in the house leaving lit in the back door. He's just looking. They walk in the house. I left it open. Lay down for the love of God. The brother be like, shut up and say Jesus. But I like white people. It's the rednecks I'm scared of. Oh, my God. I'm from Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? They are down there. You understand? If you go in a black club in Atlanta and a white person walk in, black people don't say nothing because we don't care. But if you go in a redneck club and a brother walk in, the music will stop. As soon as you walk in, ding, 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 ding. Who locked you in here? Somebody killed the doorman because he's slipping. Rednecks or something else. They got a chain of restaurants in Atlanta that rednecks go in. You know, how you doing, old pretty good? You can tell when they don't like what black people the way they speak. You walk in, hey, how you doing? Yep. When you hear that yep, that means get out of there. You understand what I'm saying? And they always drive a Ford truck. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't take nothing but a Ford. F-O-R-D, period. Ain't nothing like a Ford. I wouldn't drive a Chevrolet because I can't spell it. And black people, quit lying about your job titles, okay? Lady next door to me, oh, man. She told me she was a computer programmer. I get to the gas station, she's talking about 1006, 1006. I'm just looking at her, 1006? I thought she was a computer programmer. What you think I'm doing? A guy next door to me, he's a maintenance engineer. I'm like, oh, my God, he has a good job. You know what I'm saying? I get to the grocery store, he buffing floors. You know, it's kind of like, it's kind of warm in here. Is it warm in here? I'm kind of sweating like a pimp with one hole. You know what I mean? When I fly all the time, I had to fly first class because, you know, I'm a big boy, you know what I'm saying? So every time I'm in first class, people that know me, I always walk by and be speaking like, hey, Bruce, you know. So normally white people don't know who I am, you know what I'm saying? So I was sitting next to this one guy, and he's looking at me like, God, everybody's speaking to him, you know? So he said, look here, buddy, I ain't getting in your business, but I'm looking at you and everybody's speaking to you, so you got to be somebody. So when they don't know who I am, I'm like, you don't know who I am? He's like, no, I said, I'm a male stripper. He's like, you kidding? I said, yeah. He said, what's your stage name? I said, Stretch Marks. He was calling me at the whole flight, look, you're Stretch Marks. I'm going to go to the restroom. I'll be right back. Because, you know, at the airport now, they do all type of random searches. Everybody knows this. Anybody fly know what I'm talking about. I have to fly all the time. So they can just pick you out of the line like, I need to check your bag. There's nothing you can do. If you don't let them check it, you're not flying, you know? So a lady picked me out. I was flying from L.A. to here. She said, I need to do a random search on you. I said, yes, ma'am. And she looked at my bag. She get real loud. What you doing with all these Subway sandwiches? You know, I tried to be cool, you know what I'm saying? I said, I get hungry between flights, you know what I'm saying? Then she get real loud, 26 Subway. I said, 26? This supposed to be 28. Somebody done got me for two sandwiches, you know? You know how it is, man. You know how it is when you're big. I got a cousin a little bit bigger than me. Yeah, yeah. He's a big dude, y'all, for real. He went and bought a 1999 Ford Escort. He came to my house, let's go get something to eat. I said, where am I sitting? He said, I get in the front, you get in the back. I said, damn it, let's ride. We're going down the street, calling like it's full of people. Everybody, man, look at all them people in that car. Police pulled us up, all six of y'all get out. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought it was six people drive on. This joke, but you'll see somebody so big when they're eating, they be humming. You know what I'm talking about? We was in a restaurant, he like, then he gave out a breath. I said, you all right? Yeah. He big, too. Every time he think we going to eat, he start dancing. We'll be at home. I said, man, I'm going to get something to eat. He be like, you know you're big when you go to the mall and you see somebody bigger than you. You be like, my God. Or when somebody... Oh, you know you big when somebody big say, damn. What did you eat? Big people be walking by the food court. Staring at the cookies.
Bears will run a play. The 2-minute warning will stop after a first down. And this is Michael Bush. And Bush is into the end zone. And that is a touchdown for the Bears, which will keep their playoff hopes alive. A 2-touchdown lead with a little more than 2 minutes to go.
And so it is. Bruce, thank you very much for the comedy break. Appreciate that. Bears highlights from Bears and Browns this weekend as the Bears get it done 38-31. Back on the ride, 13-13 left in it. Now, look, I've been telling you all this day and basically any time you let me over the last couple of weeks that the worst defense in the National Football League relies in Dallas. It really does. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I want to play some excerpts from First Take while I've got a few minutes left on it. Before I do that, let me tell you something. There's some amazing people out in this world I need to acknowledge, all right? There's the amazing people in who you are. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And then there's Jefferson City, Missouri, all right? Lisa, thank you for occupying a lot of space in the day and getting some things done and keeping me grounded. It's been interesting, to say the least, and I really, really appreciate what you've been and what you've done. Thank you very, very much. Now, ESPN's First Take. Here we go. All right. Now, this may sound like a bit of a podcast. Don't worry about it. What's most important is the interaction between Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless. All right. For those of you who know those names, give this a listen to for a few minutes, and then we'll come back to you as we wrap this thing up on the Fastest 60 Minutes Sports Special Week 15 Wrap-Up Show. Thank you all for being a part of it. Again, for those of you who have any chimes, you're running out of time, 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. Check it out.
Get ready to embrace debate. First Take starts now.
Coming up on the First Take podcast, who's to blame for the Cowboys' Sunday meltdown? Plus, should RG3 be worried about Kirk Cousins? And it's Ravens versus Lions. Who wins on Monday Night Football? All that and more coming up on the First Take podcast, which starts right now. Kerry Champion, Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith, welcome to First Take.
You know, it's good to have you back. It's a great day to have you back.
Thank you.
In fact, the floor is yours.
Oh, is it? Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. You don't want to talk about the Cowboys.
How are you? I'm serious. I didn't notice you. I didn't see you sitting over there. I thought it was just Kerry.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Well.
Right.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. How was your Friday?
It was good. It was a good Friday. I went to Florida, had some fun. I want to tell you, you were very popular on Twitter yesterday.
Was I?
Yeah.
Yeah, we know why. We know why, Skip, don't we?
I was on vacation yesterday.
He doesn't know. Let's get right to it. Cowboys blew a 23-point lead at half, ultimately giving the Packers, a new playoff life. Stephen A., I don't even want to get into the facts. The floor is yours. Just have at it. Yeah. Huh?
You know, Skip, man. you can't make this up. You cannot make this up, man. I mean, they're running over Green Bay. They're up 26-3 at halftime. And, Skip, it was one of those remote, because you know me, and you know how quick I am to just give up on certain teams while I'm watching the game. I'll switch to another game in a heartbeat. But something told me, Skip, something told me. I was like, you know what? I need to stick around and watch this game, you know. And I was feeling actually a little, yesterday, man, I was feeling a little bit under the weather. I actually contemplated calling in, and then I saw Green Bay score a touchdown. I was like, oh, no. I took some Benadryl. Yeah, seriously. I made sure I got my allergies and all. I was like, oh, no, I can't miss this because I sensed what was going to happen. And sure enough, what happened? One touchdown after another by Matt Flynn. Oh, by the way, they did not punt any. The entire second half, they scored on all five of their drives, with the exception of the kneel down. Oh, by the way, Skip Bayless, I had no idea. I had no clue. I didn't even realize that Murray had rushed for 134 yards, that he had averaged over 7 yards a carry, that in the 15 plays that the Cowboys ran in the fourth quarter, when they had the lead, they elected to throw the ball four times and run it just three times. I didn't realize that stuff, Skip. I didn't even realize that Tony Romo, you know what? It was a running play. It was a running play. It was designed to be running play. And they overloaded. So what did you do? You audible. You shift gears and you decided to throw the football. But even when you decided to throw the football, Miles Austin is open. You get the ball up to him. You loft it over him instead of throwing a line drive like you're trying to be a pitcher instead of a quarterback. If you had just lobbed the ball over, Skip, there was nobody behind him. It would have been a clear touchdown. But it didn't happen. And so what happens? What ends up happening, Skip Bayless? Your boy, Tony Romo, two interceptions. Two interceptions in the fourth quarter. Two interceptions in the fourth quarter. Two interceptions in the last 4 minutes of the game. Skip Bayless, this is what I keep trying to tell you. And then afterwards, what happens? Dez Bryant leaves, even though that's not a big story to me, but Dez Bryant leaves before the clock winds down because he can't stick around for the kneel downs. And Jason Garrett is looking all befuddled. By the way, he should be without a job as a head coach at the end of this season. Monty Kiffin should be afraid to show his face. All right, even in the booth upstairs in a suite somewhere, I'm sure it's a posh one.
Uh-huh.
Nice couches and
uh-huh.
cushions on the chairs and all of this other stuff. And the list, and Jerry Jones himself, yeah, he addressed the media and it was a horrific loss and he understands it. But he'll find a way to sit there and spin this in a way where he can make money because he's a brilliant businessman. Certainly not a brilliant football mind, but a brilliant businessman. In the end, the accident waiting to happen continues to show up. I keep telling you, they're going to break your arm. By the way, this doesn't even have a big effect on the NFC because they're still in the same position they were in yesterday before the game because the Eagles lost. It doesn't matter, Skip. They're setting it up like I told you. Whatever will break your heart the most, they will do. Take the floor. This is beautiful. I can't wait to hear from you. It's beautiful to see you, by the way. It's beautiful to see you. I try to tell you, Skip. Go ahead, man.
He loves
Go ahead.
I mean, he
Go ahead, man. I'm sorry, man. You know what? I gave you a hug last week. I'm a chill out. Mm-hmm. Are you okay?
Are you finished?
Yes.
That's my question.
Yes,
to you. Are you finished?
So mean.
Now the floor, Carrie, is mine.
It is yours.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I am sick and tired of listening to you laugh at my Dallas Cowboys and use your tagline, the accident waiting to happen, because the accident happened a long, long time ago. You cannot wreck a car that has already been totaled. The car was totaled a long time ago. But unfortunately for you, my friend, the entire NFC East is totaled. So I have some questions before I get into my argument.
Okay.
Number one, which team is still 4-0 in the NFC East as we speak? The Dallas Cowboys. Which team will be favored, is favored, to win at Washington next week by 3 points? The Dallas Cowboys. If Dallas wins that game, which I fully expect Dallas to win, which team will be favored at Jerry World in the season finale over the visiting Philadelphia Eagles? The Dallas Cowboys will be favored by 3 points. That's my guess.
Okay.
To win that game. So effectively, as we speak, the oddsmakers would tell you that the team in the driver's seat to win the NFC East is the Dallas Cowboys. So as much as I despise acknowledging this today, the NFC East is enabling Jerry Jones to continue to pat them all on the butt and say, we're going to be okay, and continuing to give votes of confidence, which he says he doesn't need to give, to Jason Garrett and Monty Kiffin and everybody else in that locker room, including the quarterback he gave $55 million guaranteed dollars to. That's when the accident happened, on the day that contract was inked. The accident happened, and the car was totaled. Now, what did I tell you all last week, all last this whole football season about Matt Flynn? You have ridiculed Matt Flynn again and again on this show. You said, I wish I had his agent. I wish he could give me those kind of contracts. Matt Flynn is pretty good. I've sat here and said it 100 times on the show. He's pretty good. And what did I tell you a month ago about Monty Kiffin? You have to send the man home. At age 73, he's seen his best days. This Dallas defense isn't just bad. It's all-time worst. I'm not exaggerating here. It is statistically all-time worst. It gave up an NFL record 40 first downs in New Orleans. What did New Orleans do yesterday? Oh, yeah, they got it handed to them at St. Louis. This defense could not even make Josh McCown punt one time in Chicago. So yesterday, is it any shock to you, Stephen A., and I'm glad you didn't turn the game off, that Matt Flynn got the ball five times in the fourth quarter and scored five touchdowns? Is it any shock to anybody out there? Seriously. Which brings me to the cliched criticism of the Cowboy offense. Oh, they should have run the football. They could have run the clock out. Baloney! Oh. Baloney! Oh, no, I'm not buying it for 1 second.
Okay.
Are you okay? I have the right to have the floor. I can break the floor if I want to break it.
You can break the desk if you want to.
They have to match fire with fire, because up in the press box, trust me, Bill Callahan, the quasi-offensive coordinator, is thinking, this is the worst defense I've seen in all my years coaching. We've got to go for the knockout punch. I have absolutely no problem with throwing the ball 21 times in the second half to only 7 runs, because I want to see what's left of the Cowboys go for it. What's the best option I have? It's for Tony Romo to throw one more touchdown pass and break the spirit of Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn, not Aaron Rodgers, Matt Flynn, and what's left of the Green Bay Packers. So I had no problem with Tony Romo audibling out of a run call on 2nd and 6 before this first interception that you alluded to. I had no problem with the athletic move that Tony Romo made, if we can see it again, to make Clay Matthews completely whiff on the play. It was beautiful to watch. It was a real athletic pocket play. This is what Tony Romo does best. But it is December, and this is Tony Romo. So he does not set his feet, and he throws a pathetic, weak, sidearm, nothing ball to Miles Austin, who, by the way, is a shell of himself. And as you say, Stephen A., it's gone. It's a touchdown. It's game over at this point. All you have to do is get the ball up over Sam Shields, and we are having a completely different conversation. But what have we seen again and again and again and again and again from Tony Romo in the month of December? We have seen that play. What have we seen again and again with the game on the line? We have seen Tony Romo choke his brains out. He choked his brains out on that throw. It was the correct call. I'm happy. Seriously, beautiful idea. Perfect idea. Go for the kill. And yet, when they got the ball back, I'm thinking, you make $55 guaranteed million. You owe us all. One of these. Just one of these. And what does he do? He goes to little Cole Beasley, who he has very little rapport with as far as long-term, big-game rapport. And they're on the wrong wavelength, and whose fault is it? It's the quarterback's fault. And very predictably, he throws it where Cole Beasley isn't thinking, and all of a sudden, Tremont Williams finally comes up with an interception, and the game is over because it was predictably over. So, big picture, what am I thinking? Nothing's changed. I'm just the same as I was. The accident has happened to the NFC East. Do I have to remind everybody that the Philadelphia Eagles gave up 48 points yesterday to an offense without Adrian Peterson and without Toby Gerhardt, who's pretty good? They're down to their third-string running back. I can't even remember the guy's name. Asiante or somebody? They gave up 40. This is your Eagles that you said, yeah, last week, they're going to win the NFC. Really?
All right, guys. That's as you hear Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith go at it. That was our cursor to this morning. A lot of fun on First Take. Again, just a few shocks within the world of the NFL. But tomorrow, starting tomorrow, we start to look forward to Week 16 and what playoff implications lie for teams like the Bears, the Lions, Green Bay. What will happen between Dallas and Philly as they start to wind their seasons down? It is going to be absolutely huge in the National Football League to see how this plays out. I want to thank my friends up in Red Deer. I love you guys and nothing you can do about it. My friends on the East Coast, West Coast, all coasts around this world. Love you guys. There's absolutely nothing you can do about it. We'll do this again next week from wherever we're at in this wonderful world. It'll be Week 16 wrap-up show. It'll be next Tuesday, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock Middle Earth time. Love you. There's nothing you can do about it. We thank you for your love and your patience, and we'll see you next time only on the fastest 60 Minutes of Sports. Good night, everybody.